But those are our opponents, the respective army commanders and their armies in early May 64. Now, Sherman planned to use his three armies to turn Johnston out of any defensive position he might take. He could hold Johnston's attention with one army and use one or both of the other armies to get around Johnston's position, slide around the flanks and try to catch Johnston in a compromising defensive line where he could be attacked advantageously. All the while, the Federals would push toward Atlanta as they were trying to maneuver Johnston into a weak position. The railroad from Chattanooga to Atlanta would be the supply line until Atlanta fell, and then Sherman would break loose from supply lines and put into play the strategy of exhaustion. Johnston hoped to delay Sherman, he said, by setting up a series of defensive positions and perhaps catching Sherman in a position where he could be assailed successfully. So Johnston said. Now, he didn't have much of a history of attacking anybody until forced to do so when his back was against the wall at Richmond in late May 1862, but nonetheless, that's what he said he wanted to do. And throughout the month of May, they played a chess-like game in North Georgia. Sherman flanking Johnston, who would withdraw quite skillfully and in good order to take up other positions. The Federals lost a golden opportunity to cut Johnston off from Atlanta near Resaca on May 9th, early in the campaign, when McPherson took a good piece of his army through Snake Creek Gap against the rear of Johnston's army, against the railroad, and in a position that would put him between Johnston and Atlanta. But McPherson pulled back, and Johnston was allowed to withdraw from a position that might have been very uncomfortable for him. There was further action near Resaca until May 14th, at which time Johnston began a more general withdrawal. Now, some historians have blamed Sherman for not giving McPherson clear enough instructions at Resaca in this position where McPherson might have done more. Others have blamed McPherson, but the point for us is that Johnston got away and the campaign continued. By May 25th, the armies were near New Hope Church, which is about 30 miles northwest of Atlanta. Heavy skirmishing took place there for several days. Each side then slipped eastward a mile or two a day until by the second week of June, they were near Marietta, Georgia. And there Johnston had his right flank posted on a very powerful piece of ground called Kennesaw Mountain. Kennesaw Mountain, not far from Marietta. Now, Sherman had grown increasingly edgy during all of this maneuvering. He really, I believe, had expected to catch Joseph E. Johnston off guard sooner than he did and defeat him in battle, catch him in a really vulnerable position and use his superior numbers and the advantages conveyed by his army group organization to strike a damaging blow against the rebels. But Johnston had not made any really serious blunders in Sherman's front. And Sherman later remarked, and I'll quote him directly, "No officer or soldier who ever served under me will question the generalship of Joseph E. Johnston. His retreats were timely, and he left nothing behind." A part of this whole process was that the war had changed in terms of what the armies did as they moved along across the countryside. What they did habitually now was dig in. If the army stopped for any amount of time whatsoever, the troops would throw up field works. And those field works, of course, made every defensive position that Joseph Johnston took that much more powerful, that much more difficult to attack if you're Sherman, and sometimes more difficult to get around. These were armies that no longer fought as they had in 62 and 63. Back in the more innocent days of the war, many soldiers had considered entrenching to be unmanly, that real men fought facing each other. They didn't throw dirt up between them and the enemy. They would look each other in the eye and try to kill each other. Those times are long gone. Confederates said that Sherman's men seemed to march with a rifle in one hand and a spade in the other, while the Federals joked the rebels must carry their breastworks with them, because as soon as they stop, it seems that we're facing an entrenched enemy. Sherman finally ran out of patience with this game of cat and mouse. And on June 27th, 1864,